Faithfulness, and we will discover a little more of that in the message this morning. Let us turn to the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. First Peter 4, and we will begin with verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We would continue these messages which demonstrate grace as a power in our lives. And this morning I want to see that power as a steward. That is, God gives us power to be stewards, as we read here, verse 10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same gift one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let us first point our attention to the gift. That gift speaks both of grace and of Christ. They are exactly the same. We have seen this a number of times in the previous messages on this subject. Romans 5:15, we read of the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:4 says it this way, the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8:9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet he became poor. Ephesians 2:7 speaks of the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 4:7, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then Paul exhorted Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so grace and Christ are indeed combined into one. I want to turn briefly to John 1:14. You can save your place here in Peter because we will be coming back. But I wanted to read these verses, wanted everyone to follow them along here in John 1. They are very familiar verses. We have seen them quite a number of times in our experience and reading over the years. In the first chapter of John, let's go down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, notice, full of grace and truth. This again is speaking of Christ, who is full of grace. He is full of truth. In other words, he is the personification of both of them. He is the embodiment of grace and truth. Notice further as we go on down here to verse 14, or rather verse 16, and the fullness of his fullness, rather, have all we received, and grace for grace, or grace upon grace. I love the way that John puts this, as he says, of the fullness all we have received. John knew in his own experience that he had not appropriated all of the grace of God. He had not seen, he had not had the power of all grace in his life at that particular time. And so he is very precise in saying, of his fullness. No one receives or experiences all the fullness of divine grace when he is saved, not by any stretch of the imagination. Notice further in verse 17, the law was given by Moses. The law really was a gift too. But the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so again, all this grace is embodied in Christ. And so it is that he really is the gift, grace, and Christ himself, the gift of which Peter speaks. Let's go back to that same chapter 4 here in 1 Peter. And you will notice, as we see here in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same. It is the gift of divine grace that we have received. It is that same power in our lives that we are then to minister or to distribute one to another. And then you will notice, as good stewards of the manifold grace. This is the next term that we want to define just a little bit here. The word manifold, we could say manifold, and that would be exactly the same meaning, for there are just multiple folds, so to speak, to the grace of God. But this little word manifold, it means various in character. And it tells us that there really are a wide range of expressions, of characteristics, or the facets of divine grace. And so we want to understand, we want to really experience the manifold, those many facets of divine grace. We have already seen a number of them. We saw in last week's message, we have the power to endure. That is simply a part of the manifold grace of God. We have seen the grace of God as a power to lay hold of our inheritance. That's just one part, again, of this manifold grace. We saw the power of divine grace that gives us victory over sin. And indeed, that is just one part of the manifold grace that God has distributed or given unto us. Peter lists a number of these characteristics or these facets of the manifold grace, beginning back up here in verse 7. I also want to call attention to the fact that Peter gives these exhortations in view of the coming of the Lord, meaning that they are so meaningful and so applicable to our lives at this present time. And so at the end of all these things, or rather the end of all these things is at hand. Therefore, because of that fact, then he calls our attention to this manifold grace of God, which is so meaningful and which must be so powerful in our experience, as we have been noticing. The first one is sober. That's really a part of the manifold grace of God. We think of being sober as being lack of drunkenness and things of this nature, and that certainly is would apply here. But the word sober, it means to be of a moderate mind. It means to be of a sound mind. That little word moderate means self-controlled. And some people really run backwards at that, so to speak. Oh, no, nothing. It can't be self-controlled. When we're talking about the grace of God, that's exactly. We're talking about this self, which must be brought under control by the very power of divine grace. But that's where grace comes in. Most of us have discovered by experience that there's no way we can control ourselves by our own strength and power in every sense of the word. It cannot be done. Think of it in terms of the mind, insofar as a mind that is able to think concerning the things of God. There is no way that we are going to think our way into the things of God. And so we are to be sober according to the gift of divine grace. It is grace that will bring ourselves into control before God. And then, of course, we're able to dispense with that. Now, I want to, before we continue on here with this list of manifold, the words or the terms concerning manifold grace, I want to view all of them from this perspective. Verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same. The order is the same for every one of these and for all of the expressions of divine grace that we have seen and those that we will look upon in the future. That is, before we can be a steward, before we can distribute them to anyone, we must receive them for ourselves. We have to experience it for ourselves. And so it is that in order to live this sober life, it is a life that must be appropriated for ourselves. We must be the ones brought under control or into this state of soberness by divine grace in order then that we can distribute not only the message of such grace, but the demonstration of such grace in our own lives. Notice the next one. We are told here to watch and pray as we look upon prayer. Prayer is something, again, that is learned. Verse 7 says, watch unto prayer. You remember the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. It's the same thing in our lives. We don't just automatically begin to pray in depth and in every sense of the word. There are many things that men can learn about prayer. We've heard a number of sermons and lessons and things of this nature concerning prayer. It is a learned process. But let us again understand it is the power of divine grace that brings those lessons indeed unto us. This is a part of the manifold grace that Peter is talking about here. And so watch unto prayer. The next one, love. Above all things, have fervent love or charity among yourselves. I love what Jesus said in John 15:12. Love one another, how? As I have loved you. You know, we hear that term so much in the secular world today, and love, 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 love. There is only one person that has that love. Love is of God. And we find here that Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Men do have no idea what love means unless they have experienced. I say unless they have experienced the love of God. Anything else doesn't even compare with the love that God has and that He intends for us. But this is, again, is the very key. We must have this manifold grace of divine love. We must receive that for ourselves before we are able to give it to anyone else. I often say it this way. It is only to the degree that we allow God to love us, that we experience His love in our own life, that we're able to distribute or dispense that same love unto other people. We will come back to verse 9 a little bit later, but skip down to verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability that God gives. We can only receive the oracles of God as He gives them to us. Once again, this is a part of this manifold grace that God has shown unto us. He has given us some wonderful messages to our own hearts. I'm speaking of everyone, not just the preacher. Talking about the fact that he wants to bespeak his tremendous word into every member of the body of Christ. We will see more of this in just a little while. But I want to go back to the little word hospitality in verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Now again, we follow the same pattern. As you have received the gift, in this case, hospitality. As you have received the gift of hospitality, then you are to use that to one another. Perhaps you have never considered God shows hospitality to us. The word hospitality is really made up of two Greek words. The first one signifies being fond or friendly. The second signifies guests, even strangers. I want to enlarge on that first meaning because we find out that it is our privilege that we also can be such a friend. Turn to the 15th chapter of John. A very familiar verse, but a very meaningful verse. John 15, verse 14. You are my friends. It's exactly the same word that is used there in Peter, the first part of hospitality. And so Jesus says, you are my friends. But notice, if you do whatsoever I command you. This is why I want to make the connection between the oracles of God and hospitality, because that is one great part, or a couple of great parts, of this tremendous grace that God has revealed unto us, and the power of that grace, which is to be manifest in our own lives. So you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants. I know there are many people that think the greatest thing in the world is to serve God, and of course it is. But let us understand that being a servant is far different and far lesser place with God than being a friend of God. We can be and we must be in service, but it has to be extended from the fact that we are indeed a friend of God. We have seen this difference in Martha and Mary for many years. And that is where Martha is pictured as the servant. And of course, she was trying to get Jesus, tell her that she needs to help me serve you. But Jesus said to her, as we have heard so many times, Mary has chosen that better part. Mary would be a servant too, but it stemmed from the fact that she sat at the feet of Jesus and learned of him. And that is the way that we become effectual servants of God, is by sitting at his feet and learning of him what he wants to do, to follow his command, even as Jesus has said here in this place, in verse 4, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. We have to listen first. We have to learn first. We have to have the oracles of God first in our lives. And so I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. He intends that we know full well what he is doing and what his purposes are. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. We are in good company when we are called a friend of God. Abraham was called a friend of God. 2 Chronicles 20 says it this way. He was called Abraham, God called him a friend forever. Isaiah 41:8, thou Israel art the seed of Abraham, my friend. James 2:23, Abraham believed God. It was imputed to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. There is one beautiful example of that, God imparting his word unto Abraham. You remember before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, shall I tell Abraham what I'm going to do? And then he did. Why? Because Abraham was a friend of God. And he could tell him, he could explain to him this message, this word that we are talking about here. God did tell his friend. Thought of Moses also. I think you'll find this one in the Exodus 33. God spoke to Moses as a man doth his friend. We are in very elite company if we are those that indeed God speaks to, or Jesus will speak as his friend, conveying these wonderful messages and truths of his word even unto us. And so we too can have this glorious gift of divine grace, that is manifold grace, the fullness of his word for ourselves. And then once again, we are able to follow that same order that we saw there in 1 Peter 4, that we can then be the faithful steward of the manifold grace of God. We have to have it for ourselves before we can give it. We have to experience the power of divine grace in our own lives before it can be demonstrated before other people. We will close with that 11th verse from 1 Peter 4. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. There's only one way we can speak of the oracles of God, and that is if we have entered in and taken that place as the friend of God. That's up to us. We will make the choice. We have the choice exactly as Martha did, and as Mary did, and as many others down through the years have done. I think again of John, who said at that time, of his fullness have all we received. He knew he hadn't. But oh, look at the blessing and the glory that Jesus gave to him, the entire book of Revelation. John entered into that place of hospitality, of being the friend of Jesus, and he imparted all of those wonderful revelations and truths unto him. We can be exactly the same way, and indeed we must. So if any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If any man minister in any way, passing along these same things as we have already seen, that this man who takes of this message first and then minister the wonders of God's grace, the manifold grace unto other people. If any man minister then, let him do it what? As of the ability which God gives. It's the same power of grace. Grace is the power that God gives to us, and the same power that enables us to dispense it, to give it to others. Let him do it as the ability which God gives. Then we come to the ultimate purpose of divine grace. Let us understand and remember that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, that is, this same gift, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And so I'll leave you with this thought. Anytime grace is present, God is always glorified. That is what He expects and longs for and wants out of our lives. When this power of grace is in my life, then God will be glorified. And then if you notice here, to whom be praise and dominion. When grace is present, God always has the dominion. And that means even in my personal life.